we began to investigate what happened to the five forgotten men, as we called it, 8 months ago. And in the process of that investigation, we tried to go back to the heart of this story, which was to the Ministry of Finance itself, to find out what happened. And for the first time, we went and talked to eyewitnesses who began to reveal to us what seemed to be an extraordinary pattern of events, which suggested a scale and an organization which couldn't have been carried out by a militia group, which had been previously suggested. We then tried to verify that by going to intelligence sources, and were lucky enough to find an intelligence operative who had people on the ground at the time that the actual kidnap took place at midday on the 29th of May 2007. And he gives us an extraordinary eyewitness account.
Let's hear from that intelligence operative now.
The cars were all marked as belonging to the Interior Ministry Police. The kidnappers took the weapons off the guards who were standing at the entrance. They were driving Toyota Land Cruisers, the sort of cars that the commandos from the Ministry of the Interior drive. There were about 20 cars in all. Each car was carrying around 5 men, so there must have been 80 to 100 men involved. It was a very well-planned operation. Only a government could carry out this level of operation. This wasn't an Al-Qaeda type of operation. They could get hold of 3 or 4 police cars, maybe, but never 20 police cars, complete with uniforms. Al-Qaeda couldn't do that. This is the sort of thing only a government could do.
Questions raised there, as you implied, about the size and the scale of the operation. You also spoke, didn't you, to the janitor and other admin staff, other witnesses. What did they have to say?
The eyewitness accounts from the janitor and people who were there at the time described how, when they came into the building, they knew exactly which room the British hostages were, and that they went straight there. There was no hesitation. They'd obviously been tipped off. The other information was that there was no attempt, despite the fact this being a government building, in any way to stop the kidnappers coming in, even though there were between 80 and 100.
In the film, you say that 4 of the hostages are now dead, but Peter Moore may still be alive. His job was a controversial one, wasn't it?
Well, his job was a very specific one. He worked for an organisation called Bearing Point, and they had been tasked with putting in what was called a financial management system. Now, the financial management system was a sort of electronic tracking system and was known as electronic government. And the point in that was to track missing funds. Now, the then investigator estimated that at the time of the kidnap, $18 billion of foreign government money and Iraqi government money had simply disappeared through the various ministries. And there had been, and there are still, 300 outstanding corruption cases against the ministries. So Peter Moore's job was to put in an electronic computer tracking system to find out where the money was going. The judge who investigated the missing billions, Judge Roddy, who now has got political asylum in the United States, pointed out that immediately that Peter Moore and the other 4 Britons were taken hostage, the whole electronic management system at the Ministry of Finance was suspended, even though a number of Iraqis themselves within the ministry, low-level Iraqis, had been trained to operate this system. It was simply cancelled and it was never implemented.
Maybe there are some people who don't want a very high level of corruption to be revealed. They just didn't want to be discovered. Remember, this is the Information Technology Center. This is the place where all the money to do with Iraq and all Iraq's financial matters are housed. The center is linked to the Americans and all the money transfers. Everything, right down to the last penny, is in that center.
And finally then, you spoke to the Iraqi National Security Advisor, Muwaffaq al-Rubai. Let's hear your question to him.
How, people ask, could they have been taken from a government ministry? What did you think at the time?
Well, the government institutions, they're not, if you like, infallible. There are some militias infiltrating these institutions. We had a rough idea who has taken them and where did they go.
And where did they go initially?
Well, we believe that they stayed in Baghdad for the initial period.
And then where were they taken?
We don't know. We don't know.
Do you know where in Baghdad they were initially?
Well, I can't be more specific.
The Iraqi National Security Advisor there, not very forthcoming, was he? What implications do you think your film is going to have?
Well, I think the Iraqi government now hopefully will be under pressure to answer what happened to these five men. We know that four are already dead. And I think that hopefully it will put pressure on the Iraqi government to do all that it can to secure Peter Moore's release, whom we believe to be alive. And it seems that the possibility is that he will be exchanged for a high-level political prisoner called Qais al-Khazali, who will ultimately form part of the new Iraqi government. So we're moving from the armed militia phase into the new government elections in January, and it is expected that Peter Moore will be released alive. But I think, you know, for the last 2.5 years, the Iraqi government have been saying we're doing all we can, and now this film is actually pointing the finger and asking the question as to what do they have to do with the men's abduction in the first place, and puts the onus of responsibility back on them to try and certainly get Peter Moore out alive.